Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be in church, and thank you so much for that and sharing with you here today. Welcome to the people who are watching online. I know some people who said they're unwell today and couldn't be here. They already texted us through, so it's great to be sharing with you. We're sitting here today, actually, Karen and I, so just so you know, I'm going to do a kind of like a sort of a mission deal. Then we're going to have communion. And then after communion, Karen's going to come up and do a mini message. Is that good?
Yeah.
Thank you for your response. I appreciate that. Wonderful. You know, we're here at Inglewood Community Church. I love the... You know what I love about our church? I love all the different nationalities of people that we have in our church. We've got people from just about every nation, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And I saw up there when we came in today, there was a whole bunch of different words that I could only read the English one, but of different people who were saying, I think it's hello or welcome. And I love that about our church, because you know what? It's a touch of what? Heaven. That's what it's going to be like with people from all over the world. We've got great facilities here, and we've been in this space for quite a number of years now. We've got a great facility for children, youth, young adults, adults, both men and women, and we want to use these facilities to fulfill our vision, which is about helping people say yes to Jesus. And that's a wonderful vision. With everything that we do, we aim to take people to the next step in their relationship with Jesus, whether it's saying yes to Jesus for the first time or saying yes to Jesus to step up and to serve within the church or to step up and serve within the community and beyond that, which is fantastic. But I want to give you a picture of the Baptist family around the world. So we're a Baptist church. Inglewood Community Church is a Baptist church, and it's a member of the Baptist Churches of Western Australia. And in Western Australia, we have around about 120 Baptist churches, okay? Right up to Kununurra, which is probably the most isolated Baptist church, I think, in Australia, because the closest Baptist church is probably Katherine in the Northern Territory, which is a fair way away, right down to Albany in the south, right out to Kalgoorlie in the east, and then all the metropolitan area. Michael Bullard, our pastor who's interim at the moment, works part-time for the Baptist Churches of Western Australia and works part-time at Inglewood Community Church as our pastor. So Inglewood Community Church is a part of the Baptist Churches of Western Australia. The Baptist Churches of Western Australia is a part of Australian Baptist Ministries. And in Australian Baptist Ministries, I actually get to serve in that space as the national director. We have 1,030 Baptist churches in Australia, made up of six states and one territory, the Northern Territory. And I work with each of those state leaders. And then we actually have five national ministries, and our church is participating in four of them, and you probably don't even realize. Get this. We have a bank. It's called Baptist Financial Services. Have a guess where the loan for this building is with. Baptist Financial Services. You guys are so intelligent. It's amazing. And then this building is insured, and our staff are insured, and a whole bunch of liabilities and, you know, copyright, all of that is done through Baptist Insurance Services, okay? Then we've got Baptist Care Australia, no direct response in that space at the moment. But then we have Baptist Mission Australia. And Sally Pym, who we support here, took her picture, and I think she was on the screen just a week or two back. We support Sally. Sally is on the field through Baptist Mission Australia, okay? And they support missionaries all over the world. Then the fifth one is Baptist World Aid Australia. You know, at Christmas, there's someone, and people have done this, they sell those cards. You know, here, you can buy a chicken. you know, and it's a card you can give to someone, or you could buy a rooster, or you could, maybe not a rooster, but you could buy a pig, thank you, a pig. And you know who that is through? That's actually done through Baptist World Aid Australia. So those five national ministries, and I work with the CEOs of those five national ministries, and we just met last week in Sydney with all of those people. And then there's a ministry that we run here called Crossover. And Crossover, this is a national ministry, is actually our R&D area for Baptists to be actually working out how to help churches reach out into their community in modern and new and different ways and encourage all different forms of church. Okay, so this is more probably what I might say. You know, it's a church where people come and gather, but sometimes we've got churches that meet in all sorts of different shapes and sizes, and we encourage that. We don't want to be cookie cut. We want to actually do whatever we can do to reach out to people in that space. And then the other, and by the way, there's a great website. I'll do a little plug. If you look up, if you just look, search Crossover, just think it, I'll say it again, Crossover, and it's in Australia. There's a whole bunch of resources in there that, you know, that our church could use and churches all around Australia. And then another area is, this is under Australian Baptist Ministry, is a just cause. We're involved with advocacy, we're involved with justice, and we actually do a thing every year where we have about 50 Baptists of all around Australia come together and we go to Canberra. And we meet with politicians and we talk about justice issues. We talk about issues because we want to be known for what we're for, not what we're against. Is that a good thing? Absolutely. The church has got so much out there in the community what they're known against, but we want to actually have a positive influence in that space. So let me come back. Inglewood Community Church. By the way, Baptists are always about the local church. This is where the action is. But we're in a fellowship, we're in a family, and we're there to support. So Inglewood Community Church, Baptist Churches of Western Australia, 120 churches, Australian Baptist Ministries, 1,030 churches. But there's more, not steak knives, but there's more, okay? So Australian Baptist Ministries is a part of Asia Pacific Baptist Federation. I actually serve there as the president of Asia Pacific Baptist Federation. And in Asia Pacific Baptist Federation, we're about Baptists being transformed, transforming their lives in Christ right across that region. And we have 40,000 Baptist churches in Asia Pacific in 65 countries and in 65 unions or associations and 22 different countries. So, for example, last year, I had the privilege to go to Nagaland. Nagaland is a state of India. And I was talking to someone this morning who originally came from India. In Nagaland, they were celebrating 150 years of when the gospel first came to the state of Nagaland, not the whole country of India, the state. It'd be like one of our states. And I was invited to go there and to speak along with our Baptist World Alliance, General Secretary, the Pope of the Baptist. And we don't have a Pope, by the way, but that's a good way to explain it. And we went along there and they've got this, they were celebrating 150 years. They've got a tent that holds 7,000 people. It's massive and it's from Australia, okay? And it's permanently set up. There were 7,000 people in the tent and another, I don't know how many thousand outside. I had to speak to that situation and get this, they televised it live in state television in Nagaland. How scary was that? But, you know, it was a wonderful celebration. And I met politicians, I met the police choir, who are all Christians. Get this, 70% of the population in Nagaland is Baptist. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's not what it's like in other states in India, and we've seen some really, you probably haven't even heard about it hardly on the news, but another state not far from Nagaland, has actually been under incredible persecution. We've had 50 of churches have been burnt down, and it's been shocking for what's been going on by militant groups. So there's this amazing space in one state, and then in another state, and I won't name it, but just a little bit further south of there, they're under incredible persecution. And we're getting together how we can support them, which is a wonderful thing. And in Nagaland, they've got 1,708 churches, which is amazing. And they have 24 different associations or tribal groups that make that up. Then last year, I had the privilege to go to South Korea. And I went to Seoul. And Seoul, we were celebrating the Congress for Asia Pacific Baptist Federation. We went to a small church there in Seoul, Korea, a Baptist church called Global Mission Church of 30,000 people. So God is moving in amazing ways, and we had a great time there. Let me come back. I'm getting close. Inglewood Community Church. Are you with me?
Yes.
I love response. Thank you for that at the back. Inglewood Community Church, Baptist Churches of Western Australia, Australian Baptist Ministries, Asia Pacific Baptist Federation, and now the Baptist World Alliance. Karen, my wife, is a president of the Baptist World Alliance Women. That's her voluntary job. And it's an amazing area that she has. I actually serve as well, I think I might have said, as the president of Asia Pacific. But in the Baptist World Alliance, let me give you the picture. 128 different countries or territories are a part of that. 246 different conventions, associations or unions. 175,000 Baptist churches and one mission. Uniting the Baptist family to impact the world for Christ. And I love that. The Baptist World Alliance, you know, Asia Pacific, that's just one of the six continental regions. And there are these other continental regions. And I want to give you a picture of what's happened in just the last year in the Baptist World Alliance. In the area of Europe and Middle East, there's been a decline of about 3%. In the United States, in North America, there's been a decline of about 6%. But in our region of Asia Pacific, there's been an increase of 20%. In the Caribbean, another region, there's been an increase of 48%. In Latin America, there has been an increase of 41%. And then the last continental region, Africa, and we've got people from Africa here in our church, have increased 134%. God is moving in those countries and in those nations. And as a movement, we're actually in a growth phase, which we praise God for, and we give him the honour and the glory. It's not about us, it's about Jesus, okay? Two quick stories. Ukraine, okay? When the war broke out in Ukraine, the Baptist World Alliance, along with partners like Baptist World Aid Australia and other partners around the world, helped out over 1 million people. At the borders, when people were leaving to go to the other countries, who was waiting at the borders? Baptist people were waiting there offering food, clothing and shelter, which is wonderful. Since the war broke out in Ukraine, they've had over 3,000 salvations to Jesus Christ. That God is moving. Often when the people are under persecution, God moves in amazing ways. And we praise God for that. You know, I'm going to finish with this before we go into communion. In 2025, now that seems a long time away, doesn't it? It's not. The Baptist World Alliance is having a congress that only happens every 5 years. And in our region, it only happens every 25 years. So I don't think I'll be at the next one. We're having the Baptist World Alliance Congress in Brisbane, Australia. And every one of you is invited. Every one of you. Nobody, anyone from any Baptist church across the world can come and join. And we're having at the Brisbane Convention Centre that holds thousands and thousands of people. Let me give you this picture. The Nigerian Baptist said they're hiring a plane. And they're going to fill the plane. Can you imagine this? A whole plane full of Baptists. And from Nigeria. Man, that plane will be rocking as they get into come into Brisbane. And they're going to sell off the whole all the tickets. They got a whole plane coming to come along to there, which will be great. So, yeah, just think about that. July 2025. You'll hear more about that and you're all invited. Slight change of gear, okay? In a few moments, we're going to share communion together. And I'm going to invite the people who are going to help serve communion to come forward, and also the musos to just come back now, if you could do that, as I just share briefly. And for the people who are online, if you could get your bread and drink together, a cup together, to share with us in communion, that would be wonderful as well. You know, compassion is an amazing force. Compassion is a force that will move us to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to our friends, to our family, to our neighbours, to our community, in this country of Australia and across the world. And we do it in word and we do it in deed. It's word and deed. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. When he, that's Jesus, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, and he says it to us today. Sometimes we think, oh, that's just for them. No. This is for us. So he says to his disciples and continuous for us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, who's in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send out workers into the fields. Jesus saw, Jesus felt, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion actually moves us to action. Until you and I are moved with the same compassion that moved the Lord Jesus Christ, many multitudes of people will be weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus says this, and it backs up exactly what you said today, Steve. Jesus says, go. Go to your friends, family, neighbour, people in the community. Go. Give. Give generously. And deliver the message in word and in deed. Every week we come together to share communion, and thank you for sharing this with us today. And our tradition in this church is we invite people to come down to the front. So you just get up from your seats. Just think in terms of space for COVID, and you'll be handed some bread and a cup at the same time. This bread and this cup is not just a nice thing that we do. This actually is symbolism of Jesus. Jesus Christ, out of his love and compassion, endured the cross. He died on a cross for sin, past, present, and the future. He paid the price with his body, and his blood flowed. So the cup symbolizes his blood and the bread symbolizes his body. Jesus instigated this before he actually even went to the cross. And today, as you eat this bread, and you can just go to the sides and or bring it back to your seats and eat it and drink it in your own time. Jesus said, whenever you do this, eating bread and drink in the cup, do this in remembrance of me, of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. And I invite you, I'm going to pray, but when I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to come forward, and we know this, most of us. And for you online, participate with us in this space as well. And then after I've prayed, we'll do communion. And when once we've finished communion, Karen will come up and finish off our service. Let's bow in prayer. We pause now, Almighty God, to give you thanks for Jesus and your incredible sacrifice, your death and your resurrection we're so grateful for. As we eat this bread now and as we drink this cup, we proclaim your death and resurrection until you come again. Strengthen us, empower us as your people to be who you've called us to be. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please come forward and have communion.
In this moment, I was just asked if we could remember someone who's been really faithful in this church for decades. And he's gone home and been promoted to glory. And we heard the news in the last week, Jim McKinnon had passed away. You know, when we talk about the Baptist world and how big it is, it all comes down to how small it is, because it's each one of us. So I'd love to just pause in this moment of communion and fellowship and just pray for Jim's family and just the season that they're in. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that each one of us is called. Each one of us has a part to play in this big world. And Father, we honour those who have walked so faithfully, and Jim's one of those people. He's been an integral part of this church for many, many years, and his family. And so as they're planning to celebrate his life this Friday, God, I pray that you would be with them, that they would feel a deep sense of the shepherd walking with them. You'd make provision for all the things that will have to happen this week. But as a church, we have loved Jim and have loved his influence and his encouragement here for many years. So we thank you for the gift of his life. And we just pray, God, now that you would provide for his family in this season. And we pray it in your name. Amen. You know, we are all called to be carriers of hope and to impact his kingdom. So I want to tuck us in now to what part we play in that global story that Mark was sharing with you. Whilst it's a huge movement, it's made up of all of the individuals. In fact, I think I hear it's over 51 million Baptists all over the world. We've got a few of them here today as well. So we're all part of that story. And, you know, I've never been someone who has been satisfied with just the status quo. Near enough is not good enough, and it was never in our family. My dad would always say, only your best is good enough for God. So I think it's instilled in me something to always bring impact and to always have purpose. And to be the light and to be the salt, both in our families, in our churches, and in the world, to make a difference. And I want to encourage you that you're part of this global family that Mark was sharing about. You know, when Mark and I were first getting married 37 years ago, we talked about what God was calling us to do. And the call has never changed. The assignment has changed over the years, depending on the season that we've been in. We've grown a family and we've been in ministry and now we find ourselves in these itinerant roles. The call has never changed. And I remember the discussion when he was asking me to marry him and we discussed our 100% sold out to the call of God, and that hasn't changed. It's not about how clever we can be. It's not even about how educated we are. You've probably all heard that saying, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And every one of us is called to be salt and light to make a difference. And he'll equip you as he needs you. You know, we're in a season where we're disappointed by the church, by leadership. As people look at who we are, particularly in this country, sometimes we can feel a disappointment. But in God's kingdom, we get to make a difference and to change that. In fact, Jesus tells us to go into all the world and to make disciples. And that commission hasn't changed for 2,000 years. You know, when we're called to finish well, to stay true to the course, to not give up, to not cheat along the way. Some of you know that Mark and I walked the Camino de Santiago in 2019. And it's an 800 trek across Spain, 800 kilometres. There were so many times along that trek that I was tempted, I'll speak for myself, to cheat or to get the bus or to do something that would shortcut the purpose that we were walking. Yet we didn't, and there's that moment at the end when we turned the corner and we came into the cathedral in Santiago de Compostela, and you see the finish line, and Jim has experienced that. He's seen the finish line and he's run the race well. And I want to do the same thing. I want to stay true to the course and not cheat and not give up and not do less than I'm meant to do, but just walk, run, whatever God's calling me to do in this season. You know, in the journey of faith, it's all about discovering what assignment God has for you right now. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1 is said this, "I am a servant of Christ Jesus on assignment." Another version, he explains his assignment. It says, "I am a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." The Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was a murderer of anyone who would be a follower of Jesus, a follower of the way, when God grabbed his life and turned him around, he became someone who planted churches, who encouraged others, someone who penned words of scripture. His life was radically changed. You could argue the assignment changed over the course of scripture as we read, but the call of God never did. And that which the enemy once crafted for evil, God redeemed for global good. I wonder what it is in your life that God is redeeming as you sit as part of this global picture. What the enemy once was crafting for evil, God is redeeming for good. You know, I was just this week in Kuala Lumpur, and part of my work is to lead the Global Leadership Network in this little corner of the world, and we're there with 15 different nations. And there was a Baptist pastor there from Myanmar. And he came up, his name is Michael, and I'm always taken by him because Myanmar has been through such civil unrest these last couple of years. In fact, this man has been running from bombs falling on his village. He's sent messages from hiding in a bathroom, and he's experienced some of the worst things you could possibly experience. He tells me this week, Myanmar now has 3 hours of electricity every day. That's all they have. Yet he stood up there and he starts to talk about his love for Jesus. In fact, he talked about leading other Christians in his country and seeing them equipped, seeing them released, seeing them have kingdom impact. And he said, you know, 2 years ago, we had a global leadership summit in seven cities across Myanmar. And he stood there just on Wednesday and he said, this year, we had to disperse because it was too dangerous to have those anymore in that setting. So we had 44 local summits all across our nation. Then he puts his deep kind of preaching voice on. He's a pastor and he goes, this year we will have 100 summits across our nation. And I was taken by his vision of his assignment under such difficult circumstances. 3 hours of electricity. Not sure where the next answer to prayer is coming from. Not sure if those he knows will even survive the uprising they're in, yet God has something for him to do. That which the enemy intends for evil, God is redeeming for good. What is God asking you to do? What part do you play? I ask myself that question daily. What is God wanting us to do? What is God asking of me? What part do I play? There are challenges. There's always a cost to being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. It could be health. It could be finances. It could be time. It could be energy. But I have found that when you surrender to the assignment of God, he gives you everything you need. He equips you. You may start with nothing, yet when he calls you and you respond with a yes, he equips you with everything. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I know that our calling is to say yes to a Savior who gave it all for us. What part of this global picture do you play? You play your part. You play your one of 51 million. And can you imagine if every one of those had a strong yes to the assignment God has for them? Can you imagine the impact on this earth? When we're embarking on God's assignment, we do so with confidence and strength. Knowing we walk according to his purposes instills courage, grows faith, develops boldness. And I wrote here, makes us fearless. Even when we're afraid, we can be fearless. His assignment is steeped in peace and is to be executed with a servant heart. It provides community, it brings healing, and gives life to those around us. We have everything we need. We have each other. And we have the Spirit of God equipping us at every step. Across all areas of his kingdom, we're called to have impact and be bringers of life and change. So here's what this morning's all about, both here in this auditorium and at home. What's God asking you to do? Is God asking you to do something different or just more of the same?